This is a download from the BBC. To download other programmes or for more information, go online.
bbc.co.uk/5live.
I'm Mark Kermode. Welcome to a special 5 Live podcast on the day we found out who'd been nominated for this year's Oscars. Turned out to be a great day for the Brits, with nominations for some of our finest actresses and nods for those behind the camera as well. This is how Simon Mayo and I saw the story unfold.
This is always strikes me as a very strange event because it's very, very early in the morning in Los Angeles. It's a very, very important set of nominations, and it's usually read out to a hall with about six people in it.
I know, because what happens is obviously the nominations are broadcast around the world, and they also they only announce the key nominations. You have to get the full list to sort of handed to you. But it is very, very important, but it is 5:30 in the morning, and in the Sam Goldwyn Theatre, you have a bunch of journalists sort of wiping the sleep out of their eyes, frantically trying to write down the nominations. I mean, the worst thing is, every year, at about this time, I say, of course, you can never actually predict what's going to get nominated. And then I do. And I'm almost invariably scuppering people's chances by doing it.
Well, we will go there and we'll bring you those nominations very shortly. And when they come, it'll happen extremely quickly.
It will.
We'll be able to write it down fast enough. What will you be expecting?
Well, I think everyone expects to see the Queen nominated. I think that Helen Mirren will almost certainly get nominated for Best Actress, and even as I'm saying this, I can now hear her not getting nominated. But I think if she isn't nominated, there will be something akin to the French Revolution. There will be, you know, uproar if she doesn't
get
nominated.
So how embarrassed will you feel if you've got this spectacularly wrong?
There will be a terrible intake of breath around Britain, because actually what's happened in the last 48 hours is that all British filmmakers have said, look, isn't it great? It's another year in which the British are coming. You're going to have Dame Judi Dench up against Helen Mirren for The Queen. You're maybe going to get a nomination for Stephen Frears. I mean, it got, I think, 10 nominations at the BAFTAs. I don't know whether The Queen will get nominated for Best Film, but I think it's almost certain that Helen Mirren is going to get nominated for Best Actress. So now watch it not happen. The other thing which I think we will almost certainly see some nods for is Babel, which, you know, is a Golden Globe winner and, of course, has got many nominations at the BAFTAs. Now, I have to say, I think Babel is sorely overrated. I think it's meretricious claptrap that just calls out for awards. It's one of those films that says, you know, hey, this is a real work of art. It's got people like Cate Blanchett and Brad Pitt really acting in that way that only really sort of sincere actors can. And that may well get some kind of recognition. And then, of course, there is the outside possibility that Sacha Baron Cohen and Borat will get nominated.
Your favourite?
Well, actually, I don't get Borat, but of course at the Golden Globes they all fell over themselves and thought it was absolutely wonderful and applauded to, you know, till the roofs fell in. That's absolutely marvellous. So there is a possibility that another British, you know, nomination there. So there is a very strong feeling. It's like Chariots of Fire all over again. The British are coming. But of course, when it comes to the nominations themselves, they might just scupper all of that by saying, you know, Sacha Baron Cohen, we don't get it either. Kermode was right. We don't find it funny.
I don't think they'll be saying that. Might it be Mr. Scorsese's year, do you think?
It really ought to be. Martin Scorsese has been nominated several times, and he's always been, it's always the bridesmaid, never the bride. And everyone keeps, I remember when The Aviator was up, everyone said, this is going to be the year that Martin Scorsese is going to finally bring that Oscar home. And it hasn't happened yet. Of course, he's up this year for The Departed. I think there's also a very strong possibility that Leonardo DiCaprio will get nominated for The Departed. He may also get nominated for Blood Diamond. So two Leonardo DiCaprio possible nominations in one year. Just think of the meltdown that will cause. But it's certainly, as far as The Departed is concerned, you know, Jack Nicholson, he's a possibility. And Martin Scorsese has got, yet again, that feeling in Hollywood, you know, you have to give him an Oscar. You have to give him the Oscar because it's about time.
It's
isn't
his turn.
It's his turn. That is, and it is. There is definitely a sense of it's his turn. He's done so much great work. I mean, obviously, he should have won it for Raging Bull.
Now, there is one film that you haven't mentioned, and normally when we're discussing Oscars, you bore everybody senseless about Pan's Labyrinth.
Well, I've been very restrained about this. In the best foreign language film category, I would really be annoyed if Pan's Labyrinth doesn't get nominated. It was nominated for 8 BAFTAs, obviously it was nominated at the Golden Globes. It's going to have very, very strong competition from Letters from Iwo Jima, which is the Clint Eastwood movie. It's the second half of Flags of Our Fathers. Flags of Our Fathers is released here at the moment, not Letters from Iwo Jima yet, and I suspect that that will not only get nominated, but will actually end up winning. But Pan's Labyrinth, for me, is the best film of the year. It was my favourite film of the year. It's an extraordinary fantasy set at the dog end of World War II. It's all about the fallout of the Spanish Civil War, and it's a brilliant adult fairy tale, and I think that it's a real masterpiece, and I really want to see it nominated. I mean, personally, I'd love to see it nominated in Best Film. I'd love to see it nominated in several other categories, but I think the only real chance it has is for Best Foreign Language Film, perhaps Best Screenplay.
Finally, just briefly, there is a bit of talk that because it was so serious last year with Crash and Philip Seymour Hoffman getting...
And Brokeback Mountain.
Exactly, getting the awards, that maybe it'll be a bit more light-hearted, maybe Dreamgirls has got a chance.
Well, Dreamgirls is a strong contender, of course, again, a great big winner at the Golden Globes, and, you know, Dreamgirls is a sort of light, frothy, entertaining concoction, which is, you know, a musical, perhaps, in the style of Chicago, which, of course, did very well at the Oscars before, and there are a number of comedies in the running. Little Miss Sunshine isn't a complete outsider. So it is possible. I mean, when last year, everyone said, are we seeing this as a return to serious cinema? George Clooney was involved in a number of movies that were political movies, that were issue movies. But then again, this year we have something like Blood Diamond, which is clearly an issue-tainment movie.
And there is no such word.
There is now. And that's one of those things that, you know, it's definitely, it's got a cause behind it. And, you know, that has a chance of getting nominated.
Okay, we'll be back for your reaction. Now let's go live to Los Angeles. And as I mentioned before, a very perky and chipper-looking David Willis, who's our correspondent there. How do you manage to look so good at this time of day, David?
I think it's the Botox, Simon. Looks can be very deceptive, I warn you. But I have to say, coming through Los Angeles this morning, all the lights were on because this is the big morning. And all those actors and actresses who tell you, no, I just sleep in and, you know, expect a call from my agent if I'm nominated, don't believe a word of it, because everybody is up in this town, glued to the television set, albeit 5:30 in the morning. And I would imagine that all around the world they are too. Dame Helen Mirren, of course, is filming, I understand, in London or on the outskirts of London. I'm sure that she will be glued to your programme. And several other Brits as well, Dame Judi Dench and Kate Winslet among them.
This is a strange one, though, isn't it? Because it is so important. We expect a big glamorous ceremony, but we get this very strange, dark theatre with about six or seven journalists sipping coffee, desperately trying to keep up.
That's right. It is an odd environment. I have to say, though, Simon, they do an extremely good breakfast down there. But that's the one perk of getting up in the middle of the night. But you're absolutely right. It is a strange convention, one entirely geared, of course, to television and the breakfast shows on the east coast of the US, which is feature this announcement very prominently. Right now, time for the announcement from the president, Sid Gannis. Here he is.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Sid Gannis, president of the Academy, and I am joined this morning in our announcement by a very talented performer and producer. Please help me welcome to the podium the Oscar-nominated actress, Salma Hayek.
Thank you, Sid. Good morning, everybody.
The 2006 nominees for Best Performance by an Actress in a Supporting Role are... Adriana Barraza in Babel, Kate Blanchett in Notes on a Scandal, Abigail Breslin in Little Miss Sunshine, Jennifer Hudson in Dreamgirls, and Rinko Kikuchi in Babel. Salma.
Thank you. For Best Performance by an Actor in a Supporting Role, the nominees are Alan Arkin in Little Miss Sunshine, Jackie Earle Haley in Little Children, Jamin Unsu in Blood Diamond, Eddie Murphy in Dreamgirls, and Mark Wahlberg in The Departed.
For Best Performance by an Actress in a Leading Role, the nominees are Penelope Cruz in Bolvar, Judi Dench in Notes on a Scandal, Helen Mirren in The Queen, Meryl Streep in The Devil Wears Prada, and Kate Winslet in Little Children.
The nominees for Best Performance by an Actor in a Leading Role are Leonardo DiCaprio in Blood Diamond, Ryan Gosling in Half Nelson, Peter O'Toole in Venus, Will Smith in The Pursuit of Happiness, and Forrest Whitaker in The Last King of Scotland.
In the category of Best Achievement in Directing, Alejandro González Iñárritu for Babel, Martin Scorsese for The Departed, Clint Eastwood for Letters from Iwo Jima, Stephen Frears for The Queen, and Paul Greengrass for United 93.
For Best Original Screenplay, the nominees are Guillermo Arriaga for Babel, Iris Yamashita and Paul Haggis for Letters from Iwo Jima, Michael Arndt for Little Miss Sunshine, Guillermo del Toro for Pan's Labyrinth, and Peter Morgan for The Queen.
For adapted screenplay, we have Sacha Baron Cohen, Anthony Hines, Peter Bainham, Dan Mazur, and Todd Phillips for Borat. Alfonso Cuarón, Timothy J. Sexton, David Arata, Mark Fergus, and Hawk Ostby for Children of Men. William Monahan for The Departed, Todd Field and Tom Perrotta for Little Children, and Patrick Marber for Notes on a Scandal.
For Best Foreign Film Language, we have from Denmark, After the Wedding. From Algeria, Days of Glory. From Germany, The Lives of Others. From Mexico, Pan's Labyrinth. And from Canada, Water.
And for animated feature film, the nominees are Cars, John Lasseter, Happy Feet, George Miller, and Monster House, Gil Keenan.
And finally, I am pleased to announce that the films nominated for Best Picture of 2006 are Babel, Alejandro González Iñárritu, John Killick, and Steve Gollin, producers. The Departed, nominees to be determined. Letters from Iwo Jima, Clint Eastwood, Steven Spielberg, and Robert Lawrence, producers. Little Miss Sunshine, nominees to be determined. And The Queen, Andy Harris, Christine Langan, and Tracy Seward, producers.
The envelopes, well, they'll be opened and the winners revealed on Sunday, February 25th. See you then.
Well, we told you it was a strange ceremony, and I think there must have been an audience of about six people applauding and cheering. You'll be happy with Pan's Labyrinth. But can you just explain,
yes,
most important thing, Babel? What is this film,
yes,
Babel?
I know, it's like, didn't you go to Bible class? It was Babel the last time I looked. If, funnily enough, the way
how
that...
How many B's are there?
Well, I think Babel is actually pronounced blah, 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 frankly. But I know this appears to be the way the international community has accepted Alejandro González Iñárritu's film Babel. It's Babel, guys. That's the way it is.
And mispronounced many, many times. It's clearly a much-thought-of movie. What are the things that are jumping out at you, Mark, from that?
Well, I mean, obviously the really, really good news from my point of view is that Pan's Labyrinth not only got nominated for Best Foreign Language Film, but also for Best Screenplay.
For everybody else.
Well, you know, The Queen has done fantastically well. The Queen has been nominated for Best Film, as we predicted. Of course, Helen Mirren has been nominated for Best Actress. And unless I missed a trick, Stephen Frears nominated for Best Director. He'll be very, very pleased about that. In the Best Actress category, exactly as predicted by the British press, and everyone will be very thrilled, it is a title fight between Helen Mirren, Judi Dench and Kate Winslet. Very glad to see Penelope Cruz get nominated there for Volver, because that's a terrific performance. But I do think that Helen Mirren is going to wear the crown when it comes to it. I mean, obviously not only is she BAFTA nominated, you know, she was a Golden Globe winner, she's a clear audience favourite. I think that she's in a very, very strong position now. And as I said, there would have been a revolution if she hadn't been nominated.
Razia Iqbal is speaking to Stephen Frears.
Yes, indeed we are. We're at the South Bank Awards here at the Savoy Theatre, where the Queen's been nominated for Best Picture here for these awards as well. And as we've just heard, Stephen Frears has been nominated for Best Director, the Queen been awarded nominated for Best Picture. And I'm joined now by Stephen Frears and Michael Sheen. Stephen Frears, who should have been nominated. very many congratulations to both of you. How do you feel?
Amazed. I'm sorry, I was in the middle of lunch, so I'm...
Why amazed? I mean, you've been, you know, nominated for Golden Globes, for the BAFTAs. Why amazed?
Because if you weren't amazed, it would be terrible.
When I interviewed you just before the film came out, you were very low-key about this. You said, oh, people will think this is a provocative film, but actually, it'll just kind of pass people by, and it clearly hasn't. What is it about the film, do you think, that makes it work?
I haven't a clue.
He is what makes the film work.
Helen Mirren is wonderful. Michael is wonderful.
Well, she, of course, has been nominated, and big money is going to go on her winning the award. What do you think the Oscars do for a film? I mean, what is it, do you think, that makes the film change?
It's good for business. The squalid truth is that's what really happens.
I have to say also that the film has just been re-released, hasn't it, in the run-up. Between the BAFTAs and the Oscars, it's been re-released, so that's very good news for you. Michael Sheen, not been nominated.
No, boo. Shocking. Yeah, boo.
Tell me what it was like working with this man and with Helen Mirren.
Amazing. I mean, with Helen, I only really spent 2 days on the set with her, because most of our stuff is on the end of a telephone. But this man I spend every day with, and he is a genius. He's an extraordinary man, extraordinary to work with. His achievement on this film is the supreme achievement of the film, I think. And I think he's the greatest living director in the world today.
That's extraordinary. Stephen Frears, don't walk away. Stephen, you're up against major, major competition. I mean, do you have expectations? I think it is Clint again, yeah. You need to say something about what you think about the competition.
What about Clint and Marty? Oh, they're fantastic. Listen, if you get put in a list with those guys, you've done pretty well.
Mm. In the end, does it matter? To be nominated, as you say, is great business. Does it matter whether you win or not?
I don't know. I've only lost in the past, so I've no experience.
Doesn't know what it's like to win, yeah?
Absolutely. As George Clooney said last year, he got very, very good at losing. I'm very good at losing.
I can see you're wearing sneakers today, Stephen. Well, you're going to have to start thinking about your wardrobe for the red carpet, really, aren't you?
Absolutely. I'm going to wear a full-length...
You're going to wear gold sneakers.
Full-length evening gown.
Congratulations to both of you. I can see you're slightly overwhelmed by it, and we wish you the best of luck. Thanks very much indeed. There we are, Stephen Frears and Michael Sheen, the Queen nominated heavily in the Oscars. Back to you in the studio.
Razia, thanks very much indeed. I'm not sure if Stephen Frears was sort of somewhat perplexed, but actually just didn't want to talk because he was having a nice lunch.
I think it's fabulous. I mean, British filmmakers have a way of being genuinely caught on the back foot when they're up for awards in a way that American filmmakers just don't. I mean, see somebody seriously apparently taken by surprise by his own success is a great thing.
What does Mark think this email says about the theory that so many actors... so often the same ones have only to learn their lines and turn up to get nominated?
Well, no, that's not entirely fair. I mean, if you look, for example, I mean, the best actor category, there is some interest. I mean, Forrest Whitaker, for example, is nominated for The Last King of Scotland. I mean, in relation to Helen Mirren and the Queen, when Helen Mirren won her Golden Globe, she said, I may be slightly inaccurately misquoting, but she basically said, you didn't fall in love with me, you fell in love with the Queen. Mm-hmm. And one wonders, of course, whether if Forrest Whitaker wins for playing Idi Amin in The Last King of Scotland, whether he will make the same appraisal. I think that's probably not the case. He gives an absolutely terrific performance in The Last King of Scotland. I have to say, in the past, I've been slightly sniffy about Forrest Whitaker, but I think he really, really holds that film together brilliantly.
And that was based on the fact that he can't do accents. He jumps on that stage, and my reaction was, oh, look, it's Forrest Whitaker in a uniform. But actually, almost by the end of that speech, you think,
you do.
Actually, no, that's Idi Amin.
Well, I think the best comparison is that Anthony Hopkins played Nixon in the Oliver Stone biopic Nixon. And although he actually didn't physically look much like Nixon, the way in which he carried himself, the way in which he moved his body, his vocal mannerisms were so close to the person he was imitating, much the same way, certainly, as Michael Sheen does when he does Tony Blair. You just... see the two things meld into one. I mean, certainly in that film, you definitely look at Forrest Whitaker, and then you forget it's Forrest Whitaker, and you're overtaken by that great performance. Idi Amin, and I think it's to do with the physicality of it, it's to do with the way in which he moves. It's a really, really physical performance, and it's really good that it's been recognised. Now, the other thing that has been recognised in these nominations that I am extremely excited about is that Paul Greengrass, the director of United 93, the British director of United 93, has been nominated for Best Director. Now, I think this is a really good thing, because there was a time towards the end of last year when a lot of people were citing United 93 as one of their favourite films of the year. To me, that and Pan's Labyrinth were the two great things of last year. But it was starting to look like it was going to get overlooked. And it was certainly some of the Oscar scuttle in advance was that it wasn't going to get the recognition that it needed. The Oscar scuttle, the foreword, people whispering,
Gossip.
Gossip, that's the correct word
in
for
English,
it.
Yeah.
But how terrific to see him get nominated for that, because I think it's a really fabulous movie. I think it has a real moral purpose to it. It's about the terrible events of 9/11. And you compare it, for example, to a film like Oliver Stone's World Trade Center, which is a lot more melodramatic, a lot more sentimental, a lot more of a kind of straightforward Hollywood movie. And I think United 93 is a really terrific piece of work. And it's great to see Paul Greengrass get the recognition for that, because he is an extraordinary director. On the one hand, he's done these really sort of docudrama recreation things, like he's managed to do, Omar, and really, really sort of intense political. And then he's also done great big romping action thrillers like the Bourne movies. And I think it's great that a British director like him has got this recognition. I do think he's a real master, at his craft.
Yes, and we're hoping to speak to Paul Greengrass, but I know for a fact that it was his opinion that it was 99.9999999999% certain he didn't have a chance. He absolutely was convinced he had no chance at all.
Well, you know, I mean, I think an awful lot of people think in advance of Oscar nominations it's very bad luck to even to mention that. I was talking to Leonardo DiCaprio yesterday. He was up for two nominations.
You were just talking to Leonardo.
We were just, you know, shooting the breeze. And of course, there is this sort of sense that before the Oscar nominations, if you say anything about it, you will scupper your chances. Hence, saying if Helen Mirren's obviously going to get nominated, then you can be pretty much guaranteed that she didn't. But of course, she did, and that's great.
Okay, whole lot of British success to talk about. Notes on a Scandal, etc.
Notes on a Scandal has done very, very well. I mean, as we said, Dame Judi Dench is up against Dame Helen Mirren. I mean, I know that that's being sort of, you know, billed as the title fight, dames versus dames. I do think Helen Mirren's got the edge, but Judi Dench's performance in this film is very, very strong. The interesting thing about it is, it's a very edgy and quite nasty performance. It's a performance of a character that, you know, it's borderline psychotic kind of bunny boiler role. And it's very interesting to see Judi Dench do that, to take on a man, because obviously she's thought of as a great national treasure now. And yet you forget sometimes just what a versatile actress she is, how much she can do malevolent, how much she can do threatening, how much she can take on a role that's actually not at all lovable and really make it her own. So good to see her getting nominated for that.
It does look like an extraordinary performance. And as you said, one that you don't normally expect from Judi Dench.
It's just, it's not lovable. It's not the kind of thing when you can say, oh yes, that lovely Judi Dench, she was really nice, I really liked her in all those, you know, nice drawing room movies. It's a tough role, it's a tough performance, and she's done very well with it.
And good to see Bill Nighy in another much talked about film. Here's an email from John Elliott in Bedford. I think one of the biggest injustices, I think he's talking about in Oscar chat generally, is that Goodfellas only got one Oscar when it deserved more, and Dances with Wolves, a remake of A Man Called Horse, he says, got three Oscars it did not deserve.
Yes,
and then he adds, hang on.
Sorry.
Hollywood hates Scorsese, as he should have got the Best Director Oscar for The Aviator and for Gangs of New York, but maybe it's his time.
I don't think Hollywood does hate Scorsese. I think here's the problem. Year after year after year, Scorsese has received nominations for films which, you know, in retrospect, everyone understands should have won. And yet, through some peculiar quirk of fate, and I think it is just a quirk of fate, it hasn't happened. I think actually Hollywood really wishes that it had already given Scorsese the Oscar which he so obviously deserves. Now, once again this year, The Departed is nominated for Best Film, and Martin Scorsese is nominated for Best Director, as Stephen Frears was telling you there. Obviously he's up against, you know, Clint Eastwood and Alejandro González Iñárritu. But you can almost hear all of Hollywood shouting out, okay, come on, come on, it's time, now's the time. Martin Scorsese needs to win the Oscar for Best Director, despite the fact that I think The Departed is a very fine film. I don't think anybody would sensibly argue that it is his best film. I mean, it's not Raging Bull and it's not Taxi Driver.
Okay, but it's got the nod. David Willis, let's go back to Los Angeles. What do you think they're going to be making of that in Hollywood, David?
I think they're going to be saying, once again, not just us, that the Brits are finally coming. We've heard it before, but three good nominations in the Best Actress category. That's fantastic. We expected it, of course, Simon, but it's come true. And I think we'll see, obviously, a lot of attention paid to the film The Queen, which has got, I think, four top nominations. We're yet to see the Craft nomination as well, so there could be more on top of that. That's obviously a front-running film this year. You mentioned there Martin Scorsese and Clint Eastwood, another sort of standoff there. It happened 2 years ago and it's going to happen again. They're nominated in the Best Film and Best Director categories. So all in all, it looks like being an extremely interesting year, a very tight race.
David, thanks very much indeed. Just looking at the final tally,
yes,
Mark, so we have...
I'm even more happy now.
Why?
Because the Queen, according to this, Justin, the Queen now six nominations, if you include the other ones which weren't read out there, neck and neck with Pan's Labyrinth, which it says here is down for six nominations, which is absolutely fantastic.
Is that Pan's Labyrinth?
That'd be Pan's Labyrinth.
Who'd have thought?
Pan's Labyrinth's got six nominations.
Who'd have thought that?
Also, worth noting that Dreamgirls is apparently eight nominations in total. So obviously, there are many categories that we didn't see there yet at the nominations announcement.
Thanks for downloading from the BBC. To find other downloads or more information, go online.
bbc.co.uk/5live.